It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Lots of laughs in this hour of comedy. Later on, it's the Fred Allen Show with special guest Sherlock Holmes himself, Basil Rathbone. But right now, the Academy Award Theater adapts the 1942 motion picture nominated for an Oscar, My Sister Eileen, with its original stars Rosalind Russell and Janet Blair, from May 18, 1946 on CBS.
Manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, brings you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or been nominated for, the coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, to each in his field for outstanding achievement. House of Squibb, makers of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, brings you the Columbia picture, My Sister Eileen, starring Rosalind Russell and Janet Blair, who will play the same roles they created for the screen, and in which Miss Russell was nominated for the 1942 Academy Award.
The two babes from the woods walked hand in hand into Greenwich Village in search of fame, fortune, and a room. We had come to New York from Columbus, Ohio. We meant my typewriter, my ambition to become an author, our $100, and her ambition to become the Sarah Bernhardt of Broadway. She, hereinafter, known as her, the blonde bombshell, and other terms of wolf call endearment, was my beautiful sister, Eileen. Whenever I think of those days in Greenwich Village, I hear loud noises like this. What was that?
What was what?
That noise, Mr. Apopoulos. The whole room shook.
That shows you how you will get used to it. I didn't even notice it.
Get used to it? You mean it happens all the time?
You won't even be conscious of it. The little blasting, the new subway they're digging below.
You mean they're blasting right underneath us?
What are you worrying about? Those engineers know how much dynamite to use.
But does it go on all the time?
No. They knock off at midnight and they don't start again until 6 in the morning.
Six in the morning? Oh, we can't stay here, Ruth.
Listen. In New York, you either live A, over a subway, or B, where they're building a subway, or you don't live in New York.
Stop double-talking and give us our rent money back.
What are you getting hysterical about? I said I would give you your money back, and I will, if at the end of the month you are still dissatisfied. Good night, lady. Sleep tight.
Oh, Ruth. What are we going to do?
Do? We're going to do 30 days in this dump, Eileen.
Gosh, shall I put out the lights now?
Yes, put them out.
All right. Ruth, I just put out the lights, but it's still light.
Hmm? Oh, so it is. Oh, there's a lamppost right in front of the window.
Well, then pull the shade down.
There isn't any shade.
No shade? Oh, but Ruth, in this basement room, we're practically sleeping in the street.
Just wait till I get that Apopoulos boy. Oh, what Mahatma Gandhi would give for this bed.
Would it help any to close the window, Ruth?
If we do, we'll suffocate.
Golly, I'm afraid, Ruth. You know, a dog could chase a cat down here.
And probably will. Oh, well, let's go to sleep. Maybe we can forget.
All right. Good night, Ruth.
Good night, Eileen. Sleep tight.
I say I'm not going back, and that's all.
Why not?
Well, they'll sock us for another cover charge.
No, they won't.
Listen, You can take both of those dames and...
You go away from there, you drunken loafers.
Horn! A dame! Look, a dame down there in the window.
You go away from there, or we'll call the police.
Another dame. Hey, look, Pete, there's two dames. One for you, too.
And you go away.
That one's mine.
Okay. Mine ain't so bad.
You get away from here.
Hello, cutie.
Go away, go away, go away.
I'm fit as a fiddle and ready for love.
Oh, Ruth. Close the window.
Me? Close the window.
No, no, you don't do it, Ruthie. I'd rather see her close it.
Oh, Ruth, please.
Leave me in. I'll close it.
Come on, honey. Come to Papa.
You take your hands out of here, I'll bust them off.
Here, what's going on here? Come on, break it up. Break it up.
Oh, it was just a social visitor's office.
We was just going. Good night.
Go on. Get out of here. Go on.
Oh, I'm awfully glad you came, officer.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
Oh, officer, do you think you could do something about that lamppost? It shines right in here.
Sure. I'll put a shade on it. Say, ain't you new in this neighborhood?
We just moved in today.
Well, if you're smart, you'll move out tomorrow. I'm particular what goes on my beat. I'm warning you.
Did you hear what he said, Eileen?
Yes. Yes, I did, Ruth. I'm afraid.
Oh, move over, darling. I'm getting in bed with you. Now, don't worry, dear. Everything's going to be all right. It's just different in this town, that's all. It's just New York.
And that was the beginning of our new life in New York, in a one-room basement apartment in Greenwich Village. But life couldn't go on all night. There had to come dawn and the search for work. I went uptown to see the editor of a magazine. And while I was sitting with my manuscript in the reception room, a door slammed open. And who should come out with a wild look in his eye but Mr. Baker?
Can you read?
Of course I can read.
Do you read?
And write, yes.
Never mind writing. Everybody writes in New York, even people who can't read.
Well, I happen to be from Columbus.
That's very interesting. Now, think carefully. Have you ever read our magazine, The Mad Hatter?
Well, not for some time.
Good. Come with me.
What the... What's this?
Mr. Craven, meet Miss... What's your name?
Sherwood, Ruth Sherwood.
Miss Sherwood. She can read. From Columbus, Ohio. Miss Sherwood, in your time, you have read The Mad Hatter. Is that true?
Yes.
Do you like it?
No.
Good.
Wait a minute. Who is this girl?
Miss Sherwood of Columbus. What's the difference?
A lot of difference, my clever friend. What's she doing here? Where did you find her?
Outside, sitting down.
I asked what she was doing there.
Miss Sherwood, the gentleman is trying to make a point of some kind. Tell him, tell us all. What were you doing out there?
I was trying to submit a manuscript.
That's all I want to know. Good day, Miss Columbus. Mr. Baker can pay you off outside. Get out.
I certainly will. I've had a hard day, and I'm darn sick of you and your magazine.
Hard day. Ye gods, that's what I thought, until I got back to that air-conditioned packing case we called home.
Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
You're the new girls, huh? Well, my name's Loomis. My wife and I live upstairs.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Loomis?
Oh, leave out the mister. Call me Wreck.
Wreck?
Yeah, that's what they called me at Georgia Tech. Hey, is your sister home?
I expect her any minute.
Good. My wife and I want to talk something over with you. Oh, spaghetti and meatballs, huh? I smelled them coming past yesterday.
Oh, yes. They taste a lot better the second day.
Hey, watch me tackle that dressmaker, dummy.
Oh, you're a football player, Mr. Wreck.
Yeah. When I'm in season, yeah.
Well, hello.
Oh. Company, Eileen?
Oh, no, Ruth. This is the Wreck.
Physically or mentally?
You're Eileen's sister, huh? I live upstairs with my wife, see? Now, look, Helen's mother's coming to visit her, which straight-arms me right out into the alley.
Well, haven't you enough room?
Oh, we could make room, only you see, she doesn't know we're married, and Helen's afraid to tell on account of I'm not working now. But I start working as soon as the professional football season opens, and in the meantime, we thought you wouldn't mind putting me up in your kitchen.
Why, sure. You mean sleep in our kitchen?
Sure, sure, why not? I'm a handy guy to have around in case something happens anyway. Well, thanks, girls, you don't know how much you're helping us. I'll get my stuff together right away.
Something tells me, Eileen, you weren't quite ready to leave Columbus. Now what?
Oh, that must be Frank.
Who?
Frank Lippincott. He worked at the soda counter in the drugstore. I met him today, Ruth, and he gave me my lunch for nothing. Please be very nice, Ruth.
Well, what am I, Tugboat Annie?
Come in.
Well, here I... Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a... I guess you're Eileen's sister. I can see a resemblance, all right.
Why, I'm very flattered.
Of course, you're a different type.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Sit down, Mr. Lippincott. Eileen's been telling me about your drugstore.
Has she? Oh, gee, it's a nice drugstore.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, hello, Eileen.
Hello, Frank.
I brought you something. It's California red wine. I thought it'd go good with the spaghetti. It's a special we're running this week.
So's our spaghetti.
Huh?
Oh, I bet you're famished, Frank. Dinner's almost ready.
Oh, here we go again. Come in.
I'm looking for a party called Sherwood. Eleanor Sherwood?
You mean Eileen.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello there, honey.
Why, Chick. Oh, Ruth, honey, this is Chick. He's a reporter. He interviewed me today.
You had a busy day, Eileen.
Hot, isn't it?
Yeah, but you'll cool off. Are you staying for dinner, Mr.
I'll stick around. What's that stuff?
Why, that's a gift from Mr. Lippincott. Wine, I believe.
Well, let's have some.
I'll pour.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Perhaps we should ice the wine.
Oh, no. It should be served at room temperature.
Yeah. Well, then you better cook it for a couple of hours.
Why don't you come back when the new subway's finished? We expect a draft in here all day long.
Well, here's to Eileen.
Yeah. To you, gorgeous.
Don't mind me.
We don't. Good Lord, what was that?
Relax, relax. It's only the subway.
Come on, I got you. Get in there.
Oh, lay off me, you big ape.
Oh, here we go. I forgot about the wreck.
Let go of me, you big slug.
What were you doing running out in that alley in your nightshirt?
Will you tell this clown I'm okay?
Yes, he's all right, I hope.
Oh, yes, he's just the wreck.
The what? I found him out in the alley with all those bedclothes. I think he's some kind of a fiend.
You're crazy. I'm going to live here.
Live here?
In the kitchen.
It's all right, officer. We know him.
Oh, it's you two. I thought I warned you to move out of my beat.
How dare you?
Wait a minute. Officer, I don't know what you think, but if it's what I think you
yeah,
think...
Yeah, see here, officer.
And who do you think you are?
I'll tell you who I
stop
am.
Stop it. Never mind who anybody is. What difference does it make? Anybody walks in here. Everybody walks in here. You know, for a place with a bad location and no neon sign, we're doing a whale of a business.
Oh, who's that? Oh, Mr. Baker from the magazine.
Good evening, Miss Sherwood. I've read your manuscript. You left it behind today. I'd like to discuss it.
What?
I said I read your manuscript. I'd like to discuss it with you.
Yes. That's what I thought you said. Oh! Oh, she's fainted. My sister has fainted. Oh, Ruth. Ruth!
So you see, I'm not going to quit. Anybody can walk out. That's easy. I'm going to stay and fight Craven to a finish.
I think that's just fine, Mr. Baker. I also think it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Good night.
Hey, wait a second. I was only letting off steam.
Look, I fainted once tonight from people letting off steam. And I thank you for the spaghetti and meatballs. It was a great treat for me tonight, especially since we've been living on them for a week.
Why didn't you say something?
because I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I couldn't even remind you that I'm an author. And I wrote some stories, remember? About Columbus.
Sure. And I read them.
It took till 4 o'clock in the morning to find out they weren't even worth mentioning.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're very good.
They are?
Sure.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Didn't I?
No.
Why, you write like an angel. You know, these stories are quite good.
Oh, just quite good.
Isn't that good enough?
You mean, if you could publish them, you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. You see, the people are good, but the stories are flat. That's because not enough happens to you.
It doesn't, eh?
That's what I said. You can't lead a quiet, sheltered life.
Quiet, sheltered? Down in that tunnel, with subway blasts, and a populist, our Rasputin landlord, cheating us blind, with Eileen dragging home newspaper geniuses and drugstore managers and anything else she happens to meet up with in the course of a day, with football players drifting through, not for no reason at all. Did you say sheltered?
Why, that's it. That's it. That's exactly the stuff. Write it.
Write what?
Write about your life in a Greenwich Village apartment. Eileen, the blast, the whole menagerie. Why, it's wonderful.
Oh, I see what you mean. Why, sure. And so, that was what happened. That was what happened to me, and my sister, Eileen. There, it's finished.
What, the tunnel?
No, the book.
Say, Ruth, you seem so terribly down today, and golly, if you start feeling that way... Well, who's going to hold me up?
Oh, I'm not worried about you, Eileen. Not while there's a man alive.
But after all, Ruth, men are only an escape.
Comes another escape.
Sherwood residence. Miss Ruth Sherwood.
For me?
Ruth, it's Chick's paper.
Hello? Yes? This is she.
Her?
She? What? Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sand Street, Brooklyn? Yes. Yeah, I've got it. Sure, I understand. Thanks.
Gee. Well, what is it? What's going on?
You're going to give me a chance to show what I can do. An assignment to cover over in Brooklyn.
Well, what happened over in Brooklyn?
A Portuguese ship. Merchant Marine with a load of young cadets. They want a human interest story on it.
Gee.
Oh, Eileen, where is Brooklyn?
Oh, you can't miss it.
Oh, thanks. That's a help.
Hello, gorgeous.
Oh, hello, Chick. Well, how did you get in here?
Your back door lock is busted.
You scared me half to death.
Oh, take it easy, sugar. I happened to see Ruth ducking into the subway, and I thought maybe Gorgeous is alone.
Oh, I see. Well, she's on her way to Brooklyn, and I do want to thank you for getting that assignment for her, Chick.
Oh, forget it. Now let's get your future straightened out. Will you stand still, please?
Well, I've been waiting for that interview to be published, Chick.
This week, sugar.
Gee, thanks. Don't you think you better go now?
Go? After I went and fixed it to get you alone without that eagle-eyed sister of yours around?
My sister.
Now, don't get tragic.
Oh, you get out of here.
Now, that's silly. After all I've tried to do for that sister of yours.
Oh, go away. Take your hands off of me.
Stop playing coy, sugar.
Stop it, please. Oh, come in. Oh, Mr. Baker. Well, I'm certainly glad to see you. And now, Mr. Clark, will you kindly get out?
I think I'd do as the lady says, Clark.
Sure. Little hot for wrestling, anyway.
Oh, Mr. Baker.
No. You're all right.
Oh, I really don't know what I'd have done.
Oh, there. Sit right down. Right over there.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Eileen.
So, where is it? Where is it, I say?
Where is what, Mr.?
Mr. Apopolis.
My picture, my painting, my lifeblood, my career, my work, my art. Ye gods, it must be somewhere. I remember painting it, framing it, but where did I hang it?
Who was that?
That was Mr. Apopolis, our landlord.
Darling, the fleet's in.
Ah, say a duper came in.
Oh, he's nice. Help me get rid of them.
Well, who are they, Ruth?
Cadets from that Portuguese ship I interviewed.
Well, what did you bring them in here for? We got trouble as it is.
Bring them? They were on my trail ever since I left the Brooklyn dock. There were more than when we started out, but half of them got lost in the subway.
Oh, they're coming at me, Ruth. Help, help.
Send up a rocket, honey. It's too late now.
Gee, it was so sweet of you to come all the way down here to see me.
Gee, this is the first time I've ever been in a jail.
You don't say. Imagine, why, we're thrown in the clink twice every week.
Well, if you want an explanation for this, Frank, you can go right now.
Oh, no. I was bringing you this anyway. Chocolate-covered cherries. A special we're running this week.
Oh, thank you. You are the sweetest boy.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. Because I made an important decision today. And it's just as well that your sister's here, too.
Why, Frank. This is hardly the place for a proposal.
Yeah, oh, no, it wasn't that.
It wasn't?
No. No, you see, I suddenly realized that I was wasting my life. You girls have the right idea. Follow your natural bent, whatever it is. So I'm ready for the bohemian life.
How dare you? We're not bohemians.
No, we're not. We're a couple of girls from Columbus, Ohio, who are here trying to make a living. And that's all we're here for.
Mr. Baker to see you.
Ruth, Eileen.
Bob. Hold everything. I didn't know you knew Mr. Baker.
Why, of course, Ruth. We had a delightful time this afternoon, didn't we, Bob?
I'll go out and talk to the man about bail.
See you in a little while, girls. Just a little while.
Move on, you guys. Clear the hall. Other people want to visit in jail here.
What now, officer?
Mr. Sherwood from Columbus, Ohio, to see you.
Dad! Oh, Dad!
Don't dad me. Did you have to come all the way to New York to land in jail? What's the matter with our jail back home?
It isn't the jail, Dad. It's they've got better reasons in New York for putting you in.
Hurry up, girls. Finish your packing. We're going back to Columbus.
Yes, Dad.
Okay, Dad. We're packing. Well, nobody can say we haven't lived in this dump while we were at it.
And it's so nice and quiet today.
Oh. Good heavens, what was that? Come on, we'll run for the street.
It's just a subway, Dad. They're digging it closer all the time.
Oh, subway, huh?
Ruth.
Bob.
Where have you been? I've been calling all day.
Well, they took the phone out.
What are you doing packing? You can't go.
See here, who are you?
Never mind who I am. This girl stays in New York. Look, I publish a story, the lead story in this issue of the Manhattan. You're made.
Oh, Bob.
Hold it. Don't faint. It's true.
Oh, where is she?
Mr. Craven came along with a contract.
Now, see here. I've made up my mind.
I who is he?
My father, Mr. Baker, Mr. Craven.
Wait! I've searched everywhere. I am desperate.
Mr. Apopolis, my father.
Hey, Ruth, my wife wanted to know if... Oh, company?
The wreck from Georgia Tech.
Now, look here, Mr. Sherwood.
We're going home.
You can't go home. Ruth and I have a great deal of work to do. It may take years. Maybe a lifetime.
Bob.
Sign this contract. I want an entire series of the Eileen stories.
Oh, a series. Sure. Where do I sign?
Right here.
Oh, what about me?
Huh? Oh, you.
That's it. I'll sign this contract if you get my sister Eileen a job in the theater.
What?
Yes or no?
Right. Yes or no?
Oh, Mr. Craven. Why, you must know just everybody.
Why, certainly. Go ahead, sign that contract. I'll take care of your sister. Yes, indeed.
Now, listen here. I'm the father of these girls, and I say we're going to go...
The Academy Award Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 18th of May 1946 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Fred Allen Show with special guest Basil Rathbone. They'll be performing a detective skit, an homage to Basil Rathbone's many years as playing Sherlock Holmes on radio and in the movies, even though 3 years before he had quit playing that character in that capacity for fear of being typecast. This NBC episode from April 24th, 1949.
The Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests Basil Rathbone, Fulton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Finley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your Ford dealer. It has been years since any new development in trucks has created such a sensation as the new line of Ford trucks. In the first place, they're tomorrow. Say, it's Sunday night again. Here comes Fred Allen and his new Ford to keep his weekly date at the corner of Main Street. As Fred turns to lock his Ford, he hears a voice say...
Mr. Allen!
Portland, gee, where's Portland? Portland, what is that poster you just tacked up on the telephone pole?
This is Natural Health Week.
Natural Health Week. Well, it's about time we had a health week. Lately, we've had nothing but disease weeks. Sinus week, have your appendix out week. Get a friend to look in and see if your tonsils are infected week.
If people observe Natural Health Week, they'll live forever.
Oh, that's bad. If people live forever, what will become of the undertakers?
They'll all be busy.
Busy doing what?
Burying doctors.
You mean if people are all healthy?
The doctors will starve to death.
Oh, that's ridiculous. The doctors are so rushed today, they're calling the latest sickness Virus X. They haven't even got time to think up a name for it. I read that some doctor's laboratory uptown is selling mouse milk. For $10,000 a quart. Only a quart to a customer, one quart.
How do they milk the mouse?
Well, they use tweezers and a small Dixie cup. And a man with a light touch, I understand. Told to me on excellent authority, which I checked out later in the day. What'd he say? That's awful. I'm stealing from Mari Amsterdam.
Mouse milk.
Well, I tell you what, they have a mouse dairy uptown. If you pass there at sundown, just before milking time, you can hear the mice mooing in their stalls up there and chewing their junior cuds as the day comes to a close. Well, Portland, what's new this week?
Billy Rose just got back from a trip round the world.
Oh, I saw him in Lindy's. Happened to look under a table and he was standing there. With his hat on, too. They have high tech. Billy spent 2 days in London and came back with a British accent.
Oh, I heard when Billy Rose goes to his country home, he lives like an English gentleman.
He rides to the hounds?
He doesn't have to.
Well, why not?
With Billy Rose's money, the hounds come to him.
Oh, say, the dogs are going to the Rose, eh? Well, this is getting silly, Portland. I think I'll go along and get my paper.
May I come, too?
Oh, sure. Come on, let's take a walk down Main Street.
Paper say?
Say, here's a political ad. Look at this. Alonzo Squires is running for the city council in Charlotte, North Carolina. Imagine he's got an ad way up here in the New York paper. Look at this. A thought for today. What is this?
The emptiest man in the world is the man who is full of himself.
Say, here's something. Don't bother with that. We'll take it up. I'll ask questions later. Here's something. Look at this. The secretary of the National Education Association says that schools are not neglecting the three R's, and that he also claims here the techniques of teaching are vastly improved.
Do you think the methods of teaching are better?
Say, it's so long since... so long since I went to school, I don't even know, Portland. I tell you, I'll ask some people now as we're walking down Main Street. This man coming along, drooling on his lapel to keep his gardenia fresh. Pardon me, sir.
Claghorn, say Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Well, sir...
Don't hem and haw, son. Shoot it to me. What's on your mind?
Well, I...
Let's go, son. I'm busier than a glutton loose in a pantry.
You're busy?
Well, me and Harry opened the baseball season down in Washington. Harry threw out the first ball.
Did the president enjoy participating?
You couldn't stop him. The way things are going, Harry will play ball with anybody.
Good.
Harry couldn't wait to throw that first ball out to the Washington team.
Why?
It was the first time this year the senators took anything from Harry.
I noticed that Governor Dewey went to the Yankee game.
Yeah, I seen the picture in the paper, son.
Yes?
First, I didn't recognize Governor Dewey with that mustache.
No?
I thought it was some man eating a Hershey bar sideways.
Oh, I... Well, I read that Mr. Dewey is going to Europe.
Well, he's doing the smart thing, son.
Going to Europe?
When he comes back, Dewey's going to enter the country as an immigrant and start all over.
Well, Senator, what about scattered applause, you notice? I'll let it accumulate and give it to you in a lump later. Senator, what about our question tonight? Do you think the techniques of teaching at school have improved?
Well, son, the foundation of our American school is the three R's.
The America. What about foreign schools?
Russia has the three R's.
Russia has the three R's?
Poland's R's, Hungary's R's, and Bulgaria's R's.
Well, how about teaching in this country, Senator?
Well, son, the greatest teacher in the U.S. today is little old Harry Truman.
He's the greatest teacher?
At the last election, Harry taught 40 million Republicans a lesson. So long, son. So long, Eddie.
Now, come on. Come on, Portland. What are you stopping for?
Look at this sign.
Outside the tavern?
It says no parking.
Let me see. No parking near tavern. This is a loading zone.
Station.
Who?
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
That's some suitcase you have there.
Yeah, it's cellophane.
A cellophane suitcase? Why, look, you can see right through it.
It comes in mighty handy.
Well, how?
If I'm looking for something, I hold up my suitcase.
Yeah?
If I can't see what I'm looking for, I know I got it on.
Well, that's... Well, Mr. Moody, about this school business. Now, do you think the teaching methods have improved?
Oh, shucks. I don't know nothing about schools.
Oh, really?
No. My whole family was so ignorant, there was a law against us.
You were really ignorant, hey?
My pa not only didn't know nothing, he didn't suspect nothing.
Mine?
My ma, she drowned two of my brothers before she knew they was children.
That's pretty bad.
And my uncle, Snavely Moody...
Yes?
He didn't even know he was supposed to wash himself. Not till he see a cat doing it.
He got the idea from the cat, eh?
Every Saturday night, my uncle would sit around in front of the stove lapping himself.
tell me, how do you feel about learning?
Why, everything depends on the teacher.
I see.
The little country school I went to, the teacher taught arithmetic by counting off her toes to the class.
Oh, the teacher would count on her toes?
Well, she'd put her two big bare feet up on the desk.
Yes.
But the little toe on her right foot was missing.
Well, did the missing toe bother her arithmetic teaching?
Oh, it sure did.
How?
Till I was 40 year old, I thought 5 and 5 was 9. So long, though.
Look, Portland, look, a new bakery just opened on Main Street.
Oh, Mama says it's run by a midget.
How does your mother know the bakery is run by a midget?
All they sell is shortcake.
Oh, I see. Well, I get it. Very good, semi-clever, I'd say.
Look who's coming out of the bingo game.
Mrs. Nussbaum, tell me, how did you do playing bingo?
My luck a horseshoe should have.
You are not bringing home the bacon?
Not to my home. I couldn't stop tonight. I'm in a hurry. I couldn't talk anymore.
What, Mrs. Nussbaum?
It's too bad. Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum couldn't stop.
What do you know? Well, it's all right. I tell you, I'll try this little man coming along carrying the green flag. Hi, buddy. Ajax Cassidy, what is that green flag with the gold harp on it, Ajax?
Erin Gobra.
You mean you're celebrating?
Haven't you heard the news, you heathen infidel? Ireland is free.
Have you been celebrating all week?
Ah, me boy, as soon as word reached Kerrigan's, we all drank a toast to the Republic.
Yes.
Then we drank a toast to Eamon de Valera.
Yes.
Next, a toast to King George.
Yes.
Then a toast to Martin Downey.
Yes.
Yeah. Then a voice said, this drink is on the house.
On the house.
How we all got up there, nobody knew.
The new republic is off to a great start.
Sure, now we can concentrate.
Concentrate how?
With the English out of Ireland.
Yes?
We can keep the fighting among ourselves.
Well, now that Ireland's free, a great injustice has been remedied.
Only one injustice remains.
And what is that?
The greatest injustice of the world is that money is green and the Irish have so little of it. Me especially.
Well, tell me, Ajax, what about schools and teaching?
Me boy, to me, schools are a waste of time.
How do you mean?
Well, if you're born in Ireland, you only have to learn one thing.
And that one thing is?
How to get to America. Goodbye to you, boy.
So long, Ajax. Come on, Portland. Let's stop in the music store. I have a surprise for you tonight.
A new song?
Ah, yes. But this is a song with a little story. Last October, when you and I started walking down Main Street, Al Goodman wrote a few bars of music, which he called the Alan Stroll. You know the music. Well, so many people wrote to Al Goodman asking what the music was, if it was a song, that Al decided to use the few bars as a theme and compose a song. Mitchell Parrish, the man who wrote the lyrics for Stardust, has assembled the words, and tonight, for the first time, Portland, the five DeMarco sisters will sing the new Al Goodman Mitchell Parrish number, Carousel of Love.
Here I go again, riding on the carousel of love, round and around, round and around, round and around, merrily on the road to nowhere. Breezes blow again, spring is here and skies are blue above.
I should beware, but I don't care.
What do I care? Riding the carousel of love.
Come on, Portland, what now?
Isn't this where the circus is playing?
It sure is.
Well, you used to know when the circus was in town.
Well, not anymore. The circus carries a nail wick 2 blocks long now. Are you turning here?
I have to see Mama.
Oh, your mother?
She's standing in line at the Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, really?
Now, I have to go every 3 3 hours and bring Mama something to eat.
Oh, really? I heard the Red Cross was opening a small place in front. Well, see you next Sunday, Portland.
Good night.
Good night. Say, this man coming out of the bookstore looks familiar.
Well, Fred Allen.
Basil Rathbone. This is a surprise, Basil. I thought you were still on the road with your play, The Heiress.
No, Fred, I just finished an 8-month bus tour across the country.
You lived 8 months on a bus?
Mm-hmm.
Did you stop overnight at hotels?
No, we slept on the bus.
Oh, you had berths?
No, every night the driver handed each passenger a pillow and a sleeping pill.
Oh. What did you do about eating?
At mealtimes, we'd stop along the road at a Howard Johnson stand for 2 minutes and have a malted milk.
You had to drink your malted milk in 2 minutes?
It was easy, Fred. Each malted milk was shared by 4 people.
One malted milk for 4 people? Well, you must have lost plenty of weight.
Actually, I gained 10 pounds on the trip, Fred. I outsmarted the others.
How?
When the malted milk was served with the 4 straws...
Yes?
I would point to a freight train passing by and say, "Look, everybody, there goes Burlives."
Burlives?
Yes, while the other 3 were looking under the freight cars for Burlives, yeah, I would plug up their straws with pipe cleaners.
You fooled those other suckers.
With my clear... With my clear straw, Fred, I was the only sucker.
Well, Basil, now that you've finished your road tour... A laugh startled me. Something... Well, Basil, now that you've finished your road tour, I suppose you're relaxing.
No, Fred, I'm busy with my radio program for Fatima's.
Fatima cigarettes?
Yes, I smoke nothing but Fatima's, Fred. They're the new long Fatima's.
Oh, you smoke Fatima's because they're longer?
Yes, I have rather a lengthy nose.
I notice, yes.
You know, when I try to light an ordinary-sized cigarette...
Yes?
I exhale through my nostrils and blow out the match.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Now, with the new long Fatima...
Yes?
I can rest my nose on the cigarette while I'm lighting it.
Oh, say, that's comfort while you're
yes.
smoking.
Yes.
Well, about your radio show, Basil, I know it's a mystery program.
Yes, Fred. That's what keeps me so busy. I'm always looking for new mystery stories.
Really?
Yes, I just picked up these mystery books in the bookshop.
Let me see.
Yes, this first one is called The Dirty Chiropractor.
What? That's a mystery? Yes. What is that?
The dirty chiropractor removes the backbone from one of his patients.
Yes.
That night, the patient's back lights up, and he realizes too late that the dirty chiropractor has stolen his backbone and given him a neon spine.
Oh, he was a dirty chiropractor.
Yes. Now, Fred.
What is that other one you have there?
It's called The Butcher's Undoing.
The Butcher's Undoing?
Yes.
A mystery?
Yes. It's about a butcher who drugs his wife and hides her in his icebox.
Yeah.
But the wife is half Eskimo, and only half of her freezes to death.
Oh, Basil, no, wait a minute, old boy. Old chap, these plots that you have here, they sound like something cooked up by the mystery chef on an off night. If you're looking for a real mystery, I have a mystery.
What is your story about, Fred?
Well, my story starts with a fanfare.
Presenting the Mad Doctor of Downing Street.
Oh, death wore rubber gloves.
I am Sir Hubert Buffington. For years, I was physician to His Majesty the King. Today, I sit here in Old Bailey, waiting to go to the gallows. Why, you ask? I'll tell you. My professional life was happy. Every morning, as I walked into my office, my nurse, Miss Tuttle, would say...
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Miss Tuttle. What's on my schedule today?
At 2 o'clock, you're to remove a kipper bone from Sir Stafford Pip's lower lip.
Yes.
Then at 3 o'clock, for an hour, you picket the socialized medicine clinic.
Yes?
And at 4 o'clock, you pose for a cigarette testimonial.
Splendid! I don't know what we doctors would do without these testimonials for cigarettes. Is my T-zone chart ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, sterilize my pointer and I'll be off. My professional life was happy, but my domestic life was hectic. My wife, Lady Buffington, was constantly nagging me to buy her things. One morning, I refused to buy her a television set. That night, as I came in the door, Chung, my houseboy, was waiting for me.
Oh, Mr. Buffington.
Yes.
Oh, something terrible happened. Chung see Lady Buffington leave by back door with a duffel bag. Also find a note.
A note?
Here is a note.
Sir Hubert, you have finally gone too far with this inhuman stinginess. You know I'm crazy about pictures. This morning you refused to buy me a television set. All is over between us. I have run away with Cecil Spoonmaker. Signed, Lady Buffington. Cecil Spoonmaker? The name haunted me. Who was Cecil Spoonmaker? I searched for 3 months in vain. Then one day, I was in my office trying to get my thumb out of a test tube when the door opened. A stranger confronted me.
I say, doctor, you've got to help me.
Your name, please.
Spoonmaker. Cecil Spoonmaker.
Cecil Spoonmaker? Yeah. I say, have you ever been in London before, Mr. Spoonmaker?
Yes, 3 months ago, I was here with the circus.
The circus?
Yes, I'm the tattooed man. I'll take my shirt off.
I say your right arm is the Tower of London.
And here on my left arm...
The White Cliffs of Dover.
Look here on my chest.
My word, an enormous monkey climbing up your chest, his outstretched paws on your Adam's apple.
Well, Doctor, that's why I'm here. I want the monkey taken off me chest.
Taken off?
I've been asked to give a command performance. I've got to make room for Winston Churchill. The monkey has got to go.
Very well, I shall give you an injection of energine.
Energine? Well, that's a cleaning fluid.
Precisely. When the energine gets into your bloodstream, that monkey will disappear.
Righto.
Here's the energine solution. Now hold out your arm.
Righto. Ow!
That's all right now. There we are. I'll just sterilize this needle. I'll be back right away.
Yeah. Oh, doctor. That injection. Something's happening. I can't breathe. Help! Doctor!
Calling Detective One Long Pan, proceed at once to Sir Hubert Buffington's foul place, suspected. Calling One Long Pan, Detective One Long Pan. Greetings, and Shulam Alakam, kiddies. Detective One Long Pan, Oriental Sam Spade on job. All right, Lloyd Loptagon, Long Pan catching everyone. All right, Lloyd Loptagon. Ho ho, Long Pan, an exceptional voice tonight. Maybe catch him fan letter from Jackie Eigen.
I see. I say, old boy, will you stop that infernal racket?
Who are you, big boy?
I am Sir Hubert Buffington, physician to His Majesty.
You doctor?
Yes.
Who is a party on floor with shirt off? Who is party?
He's one of my patients, a Mr. Cecil Spoonmaker.
Oh, holy smoke, holy smoke. You some doctor. Long pie stick to Dr. Pepper. Meantime, alas, you for murder.
Murder? That's ridiculous.
Say, victim body covered with blue picture.
Mr. Spoonmaker was the tattooed man with the circus.
Tattoo on arm?
Yes, that's the Tower of London.
Oh.
And these here, these are the White Cliffs of Dover.
Well, you skip travelogue, What is this on the chest? Fur coat?
No, it's a monkey.
Monkey's paw leech up and grab dead man's Adam's apple.
Mr. Spoonmaker came to have the monkey removed.
Something fishy here, Doctor. Long past suspect monkey business.
Oh, Dr. Buffington.
Oh, ho, woman intercase. Who is floozy?
This is my nurse, Miss Tuttle.
Oh, turn around, baby. Long pan give you fast flisk.
Here, take your slimy hands off me.
Oh, you fess up, missy. Where were you when Mr. Spoonmaker bumped off? Where were you?
I was in the doctor's laboratory with 2 loaves of rye bread making some black penicillin.
What happened?
Dr. Buffington came out of his office and said he had given the patient an energine injection to remove some tattooing.
Very good, very good.
Suddenly there was a scream. Dr. Buffington and I rushed into the room.
Mr. Shalomaker was dead.
He had gone to that big sideshow up yonder.
There's my alibi, Long Pan, and it's airtight.
Confidentially, Long Pan stump, but not for long. Who else in house, Dr. Bluffington?
Oh, well, only my houseboy, Chung. I'll ring for him.
Oh, Long Pan, girl, Chung, China boy to fare well. China, click a people. Duck soup for one Long Pan.
Are you Ling, Mr. Buffington?
Chung!
Long Pan!
Ding ho!
Ding ho!
Sing wu fu, sing tong.
Oh, hui fang ling lung mu gai pen.
Oh, mu gu gai pen.
Oh, ding wu fu.
You two seem to know each other.
Chung, Long Pan go to school together.
Hong Kong, you class of 28.
To the table down at Lom Fong.
Oh, well, a classic, class reunion over. Chong, go back to kitchen.
Oh, you'll catch him later, Chong. Finish Hoof and Mouse song together.
If you care to leave now, Long Pan, I won't charge you for this visit. Show him to the door, Miss Tuttle.
Right this way, Long Pan.
Not so fast. Long Pan, Lee, examine body. Oh, you see, Tattoo Man also have picture inside coat pocket. You see, snap a shot.
My word, it's Lady Buffington.
My word, it's my wife.
My word. With Lady Buffington a snapshot, it's a dead man on floor, Mr. Spoonmaker. Maybe, Dr. Buffington, you explain why wife in picture snapshot with Mr. Spoonmaker.
Yes, Long Pan. Lady Buffington was mad about pictures. 3 months ago, I refused to buy her a television set. To get even with me and to see some new pictures, Lady Buffington ran off with this tattooed man, Cecil Spoonmaker.
And today, when he come into your office, you get revenge. You personally kill Cecil Spoonmaker.
How could I kill him? I wasn't even in the office when he died.
Yes, Long Pan, I told you Dr. Buffington was in the laboratory with me.
Not necessary, Doctor, be in office when give patient fatal injection.
Fatal? Absurd. I merely gave him an injection of energy. Here's the bottle.
Formula on bottle K2SO4AO7, number now changed, Butterfield 82099.
What's in that bottle?
Not energy, Missy. Butterfield concentrated solution, alum.
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 Alum. Alum. Good heavens. I must have made a mistake.
Make a mistake on purpose, Dr. Buffington.
But how could the alum kill him?
You see, on tattooed man's chest, big monkey. Paw of monkey leads up and hold Adam's apple.
The monkey's paw's right around his throat.
Exactly. Alum shrink Mr. Spoonmaker's body. As Mr. Spoonmaker shrink, monkey's paw close tighter and tighter around neck. Finally, monkey's paw choke Mr. Spoonmaker to death. You fess up, Dr. Muffington. You put Tattoo Man out of picture.
I'm no match for you, Long Pan. I confess, Cecil Spoonmaker stole my wife. I killed him.
Very good. No time to waste. Only 30 seconds left. Mystery solved.
Will I get the gallows, Long Pan?
Confucius say, man who shrink other man bound to go away for a long stretch. Oh, Long Pan hot tonight. Ping pong, anybody?
The Fred Allen Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 24th of April, 1949 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.